Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler, and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me in just a minute. Before we continue on our whole series, I just want to let you guys know that my latest children's picture book, A World Wonder, is here. It's so exciting to finally have it out into the world. I want to take a minute to just tell you a little bit about it in case you haven't seen it yet. It's about a little girl named Cora. It's a fiction book, and Cora has dreamed of designing these truly fantastical, awe-inspiring structures that everyone recognizes as true world wonders. And that's exactly what Cora ends up doing. She becomes an architect that's world famous. But as Cora ages and her accomplishments and her acclaim grows, she ends up returning to her hometown to fulfill her childhood dream, transforming the house on top of the hill into a true world wonder. But in the process, Cora learns that living a meaningful life isn't all about amazing achievements or always making bigger and better things, but about building community, giving generously of your time and talents, and loving others along the way. I truly hope that this book will be a blessing to your families for you to encourage your children to dream big, but also to remember what really matters in life, that it's about the people that we love and the people that we spend time with. I think this would make a great add to any Easter basket this season. And speaking of Easter, you can actually find all of our gift picks and resources to talk about Easter with your kiddos at risenmotherhood.com/Easter. And again, if you'd like to pick up my book, you'll find it on that Easter page, or you can also find it in the show notes of this podcast. Okay, with that, let's get to the show. It's so funny because I think every person, as you become a Christian or at some point in your Christian walk, we'll say, you kind of start to realize that all great stories mimic the big story, you know, that God is writing in the world, the meta narrative of scripture. And there was this time more recently that I was in the car with my kids. And it was funny because we were talking about good and evil. We were talking about superheroes. And my son was putting it all together like, Mom, why is every story like this where there's like a villain and there's a good guy? And it was like this perfect moment to be like, because my dear son, you know, and to get to explain to him. And it was funny because I could literally see my kids like eyes get big and just be like, whoa, yeah. Like when you see that connection, it is a really fun thing to see it kind of light up on someone's face.
It just makes me love God so much that he creates stories and like shares his word with us in stories. Like, I don't know. I think most of us love a good story. And it's just so amazing to me that he's the originator of that. He is the architect of that, the author of that. And even throughout scripture to see like in the Old Testament, just how much the way that Israel's history was recounted, mankind's history was recounted, was often in narrative. And it was told in ways that are, it is told in ways that's like riveting and interesting, and there's foreshadowing and things connect back to something that happened earlier, and there's character development and there's plot twists and there's things that you didn't see coming. And it's like, we could have been given, right? God's word could have literally been a book of just bullet pointed commands.
Only
like,
10 commandments, yes! But thousands of them.
Or like, I am God and this is what I'm like. Yeah. I'm like this, I'm like this, super I'm like dry. This, I'm like this. Mm-hmm. Or these are the things that I command. Yeah, it's this and this and this. But instead, like he gives it to us in this amazing story. It's intricately told. I mean, I'm sure, you know, this is obvious, but like it is the best written document ever. Like, and that these pieces that were written at different points in history, I think that's the other thing that just blows my mind. Like, what do they call it? Hyperlink. Like, have you ever heard that term before where it's like, hey, there's this part you're reading in Daniel and it actually links to this thing that's in, you know, Deuteronomy, and that it also links to this thing that's in Revelation. It's like no human mind could come up with that. And even like the best novels or like the best story series where you're like, oh, I remember the author mentioning that in the very first book and I always wondered what happened. And now in the very last book, they're like explaining that little detail. It's like God was the first one to do that. And like, that's part of what's amazing about his word.
Mm, I love that. Yeah. And I think too, even just the example that Christ shows of teaching so much through story and parable. And like you were saying, it's not just this, like Jesus coming in and being like, I am only giving you the bullet points of who I am. Mm-hmm. But instead he's like, okay, I want to like teach these people compassion. And he knows that because of the way he created us, we learn better through story. It's more memorable. Typically we can take it with us a little better.
Tugs your heartstrings.
Oh, 100. There's like so many great applications for it. And so he's like teaching us compassion through the story of the Good Samaritan, or he's teaching us about rebellion and grace. So he tells the story of the prodigal son. And I love that about Christ, that we see that example in scripture and even can model that as one of the reasons why stories are a good thing in our lives. I think that there's something about stories that really lead to spiritual formation, that there's just a depth to bringing story in as we're thinking about the truths of God that gets it under your skin a little bit more than if we're just reading like from a dry textbook. And I think what happens in early motherhood often is that we sort of forget about this. Just like we were talking about in awe last week, that we forget that there's like this whole world out there that's so much bigger than the four walls of our home and being up at night, exhausted with the baby, all those kind of things. And I think that that's something that just the point of this show is that we want to talk through of how to be caught back up into that bigger story. And especially as we think about, you know, how our time or our energy goes. I know that a lot of times as moms, we kind of think, well, I need to only apply that towards something that is growing me. That is I'm learning in a very practical, hands-on way. But something I think you and I found as we progressed through motherhood was a return back to fiction even, and those big hero stories, and finding that it was actually something that we were growing spiritually in ways that we couldn't have predicted previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like, you know, in those survival mode years, it's like, who has time for something like a fiction book? Who has time to kind of get immersed in a really great series of films even, or maybe it's like an audio podcast series that, you know, goes through someone's life or someone's experience or tells a story about a scam that happened or something that's so interesting and, or like really engages your mind. You know, certainly there is a fine balance here because we can hold up entertainment as like too high of a value, almost to the point where we're using it as a way to like distract ourselves or like numb out or escape from some of the hard things that are in front of us. But there's also a way to engage good stories and listen to even people's real life experience that are told through stories that really can keep us alert to what the world is actually like, what we want to be like as mothers, what we want to be like as women, the kind of story we're hoping that God tells in and through our lives. And I think sometimes we're very willing to like read a story to our kids because yes, we're like, stories are what our kids need. But it's like stories are also what shape our hearts. So of course, like one great way we're getting that is through scripture and the stories God tells there. But there's also a lot of other stories that we can learn from that can shape us.
For today's show, we're talking a little bit broadly with the term story, because I think a lot of times when we think of story, we think of a literal book, mm-hmm. a literal story. But we're kind of saying here, hey, there's some TV and media that's edifying in this way. They're, like you said, a podcast series. Even songs have stories in them. So there are a lot of different ways, I think, to be caught up in story. There's an element of making sure that it's high quality literature and that we're actually engaging our minds in this. And it's not just, we all know the junk food of stories. And so we're not talking about those today. We're talking about the meat and potatoes of stories. And so we want to walk through, though, a couple of reasons why great stories shape us as believers and why they're important to the life of a mom. And the first thing is that it challenges our assumptions. And I have found this time and time again, especially through reading books that maybe even perhaps I wouldn't have normally picked up, but I'm in a book club. And so I'm definitely reading widely and hearing about books that I might not have normally heard about. And I remember I read a fiction book about a woman who was in an abusive relationship. And honestly, that helped me so much to understand and be less judgmental or condemning of why women stay in those types of relationships. And it's something that it has impacted me powerfully to have a lot more compassion because I had all these thoughts of this is what I would do and this is how it would happen and I would never tolerate that. And you realize very quick how wrong you are.
Mm. Yeah, I think about that a lot with villains. You know, I am always really intrigued with stories that dive into like the making of a villain or like why someone became the way that they are. And sometimes that can be like a prequel that kind of goes back and explores the origin story, or sometimes it's something they do within the story. But I think it's so easy to, you know, read something and be like, okay, well, that's the good guy and that's the bad guy. And it's like capital B bad. And you just characterize them as that. But then when you hear their backstory and you hear maybe some of the incredible hurt that they experienced or the horrible things that were done to them, you realize that they were shaped into their villainous ways. And it doesn't make it right, but there is something about that that grows your compassion and it grows your understanding of like how grief can shape people for good or for ill, or how abuse can shape people, or how loss can shape people, or just challenges and trials. And it does help you grow in compassion, or your just assumption of, hey, this is black and white and this person is good and this person is not good, to go, every person who is a villain, whether it's in the story or it's in your real life, has their own story of hurt.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is that it grows our social skills and our emotional intelligence. And again, you guys know I always like to pull in the science, but like literally there have been studies done on this where people have read different types of literature, and those that have read literary fiction become more sensitive to the emotional states of others as compared to reading like popular fiction. And that's not to say we can't gain anything from popular fiction. Emily and I would actually push and say, I think there still can be things that can be learned from that. But in general, there's an element of some of that higher quality media that we can engage in. People are showing a higher level of emotional intelligence, of social perception, of empathy. And I think that this is really where we gain an ability to kind of say, hey, the way you view the world is different than the way I view the world. And that's because of our life experience. That's because of the things that we've been taught, how we've been raised, the things we've endured. And so as we read those things and expand our own worldview, we are more easily able to engage in their worldview and then also believe the best, that like they are coming with in the only way that they know how to mm-hmm. a relationship, and that we can trust that they are doing their best in the relationship that we have with them. And so I think that it just shows you a bigger view of humans' life experience, and it challenges you to start to think on your own and to apply your mind and not just assume like we're all stereotypes of one another.
Or even just like missionary stories, you know, where you're like hearing what they experienced in another culture and maybe some of the persecution, you get a better understanding of what it might be like to live through that. And like we've been talking about, it grows your compassion and I think your perspective.
Mm-hmm. And another one, I think this is one of my favorites, I think, but it increases our love or our hate towards various virtues. And we especially see this in the very like big time hero stories. So you might not notice this as much in some of the smaller, the stories that have like less grand arcs, you might say. But when you get some of these like drastic good versus evil type of books or movies or different things, we sort of grow beyond, especially you can see this in your children, right? We grow beyond this element of, I logically know that lying is bad and that, you know, serving other people is good. And instead it gives you pictures and it comes undergirds like the logic of it all to now you understand, oh, okay, I love courage. I don't just know it's good to be courage. I love when someone's courageous. Right. I love like being courageous.
Yeah, like this is what loyalty looks like. This is what courage looks like. Yes. This is what being a good friend looks like.
Yes. And like I do not like when people are cruel or evil or greedy. So there it brings emotion to what we logically know is right or wrong. And that is like, I think just a really cool piece.
You must think it's cool because you wrote your own children's virtue book. No,
I do think it's cool.
I think, and we're going to be talking more about a book that you have coming out that you wrote for kids. And it's called A World Wonder. It releases March 5th, 2024. And it's all about the story of a little girl named Cora who grows up to be a woman who learns the true meaning of life. And it's meant to show some of those virtues. And so definitely catch that episode. But I think like, what's sad to me in our culture today is that some of these, like what is good and what is evil, is getting distorted. And so like we see virtues also getting distorted, right? Where it's like, there aren't sometimes good pictures of what godly character traits look like in stories today. And I'm really grateful that you're embarking on that and that we have Christians stepping back into that, because one of the saddest things to me is when you pick up a book, you know, I do this a fair amount when I'm like scanning through books at the library to tell my kids whether they can check them out or not. And you realize that like evil is being glorified and something that God says is wrong is being held up as, at the very least, kind of murky or gray, or maybe even that it's being seen as good. And we can even see virtues distorted. So what is it, Laura, like you've seen as you've looked through virtue books that like really provides like good springboards for conversation with children on this?
Yeah. You know, I think you're right that the world has kind of changed how we're doing virtue books, and or I feel like they're just full of nothing. You know, a lot of today's modern day books, maybe they don't have a message at all. And there's a place, I think, to laugh, right? There's a place to just have something that's lightheartedly read. But a lot of things are empty, or they're, like you said, glorifying things that don't honor God. And I think virtue books that show through story the things that God loves, it helps our children see really the way the world is supposed to be and the way it is in God's good design, like what the best of us can be. And I think that that really brings like, tucks away little nuggets of Christian values in ways that I think the child doesn't even always realize what's happening, doesn't even maybe even realize the impact that that's made. But someday down the road, they can draw on that and say, okay, I understand that. I remember, or this reminds me of this book that I read, you know, at one time, or maybe they don't remember that, but they remember learning to love the virtue of being generous or something like that. And that starts to inform their decisions, their actions, their values, and it shapes them in a way that I feel like you can't entirely ever lose.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit and get practical, because even if maybe a mom is agreeing with us right now and being like, that would be so great to have more stories in my life, I still think this can feel practically challenging. Like, I know I'm over 11 years into motherhood, and I still can kind of feel like if I pick up that fiction book right now and I read two pages, my eyes are going to close.
Oh, me too, all the time.
And sometimes even I will feel like my brain is so jam-packed with stuff that I just don't even want to listen to another audiobook, or I just don't want to add another thing. And yet I find it to be rewarding when I do and when I pursue this. And so let's talk through some kind of practical ways to do this, or some tips of like how to cultivate like a love of like good stories in your life and bring them in a way that's going to impact you as a woman who's following God.
I want to start by saying overall, like there's nothing wrong with, let's call it a checkout book or movie. Like as long as you've wisely chosen something that's not, you know, against the things of God, go watch that design show where they make over that room. Have a great time. But when we're talking about the great stories that Emily and I are trying to encourage everyone to turn towards, I do think there's a development in taste, and there's a development in like, if you've been eating junk food for a long time, like you're going to have to like cleanse your palate a little bit to get used to something that's maybe a little bit more heavy, or going to bring a little bit more of a strong arm towards that literary elevation, or even the movies that we watch that are a little bit higher level. So just know that if you're feeling like, oh, this feels kind of clunky, but curation is a huge part of it. You know, it's the whole know thyself type of thing where everyone has different tolerances for raw stories or hard stories. And I know that recently I engaged in a book, or I read about 100 pages and then I quit on this book that is a Pulitzer Prize winner book. It was very well written, very well done. It was part of my book club. But I knew, because I was starting to not sleep and I was starting to think about it, I was like, this is not worth it. I get the gist of what this book is about. I do think it's important to learn about this subject matter because it was about a very, very hard subject matter. But like, I don't think this is the right way for me. And so know yourself. Some people will be able to tolerate a little more than other people. And it is good to be uncomfortable. Like we don't want to be people that say, oh, I never want to feel uncomfortable or engage in something that's different. Because that's how we learn. That's how we grow. But there is something that I think we have to be very wise that we don't want to just expose ourselves to a new style of life because everybody else is, or everyone says that book is so great, or that movie is so great. If that is too hard for you, honor that. That's your spirit kind of, or your conscience probably ticking off and saying, not for us, not for us. So read reviews, take recommendations, do your research and go informed. Don't go in blind to a book, especially one that you know is maybe going to have some harder topics.
Mm-hmm. And probably know the why, right, behind your reading it. I think sometimes it makes a difference to go, I'm not just reading this to be entertained or just reading this to talk with my friends, but I'm reading this because I want to understand someone else's perspective, or because I want to think critically and try to understand a character's perspective or the message in light of what's true, right? There is that critical thinking component that really enriches a fiction experience and, you know, takes it to another level beyond just like the enjoyment of it. So, okay, so let's dig into books more specifically. Like, how do we as moms read more books? Laura, what's your first tip?
Well, my best tip, my favorite tip for moms who get tired during books, because this is the main thing that we hear. This is the main thing I tend to hear from people is like, I always fall asleep reading books. It's actually that, and this may not work for everyone, so please just don't get mad. But here's what I do is I start reading my book, you know, around like 7:30 or 8, whenever all my kids are down for bed or at least somewhat near bed. And then I might take a 10-minute nap when I get real tired. I'll just, I put my book on my chest.
That does make me mad. I'm just kidding.
I put my book on my chest. I just close those tired eyes. I take a quick nap. And sometimes it's longer than I meant to, but then I can indeed wake back up and read. But if I am fighting sleep and my eyes are going down and down and down, it is the worst experience, right, to read a book in that feeling. And so maybe it means we have to find different times to read our books, but I have learned to just give it like a quick power nap and then resume reading and we're good. Or sometimes it means like go watch a TV show, kind of perk back up and then read and say, okay, it's only going to be 20 minutes instead of like 2 hours of reading.
Yeah. That is a superpower you have is power naps.
Funny. Well, I think other moms have it too. I think 50-50 probably.
There are other moms. Okay. I think the other thing that helps for me is having books in different formats.
Yeah.
And I have personally found audiobooks to be an incredibly helpful way for me to consume things because I like to be busy with my hands and be up moving around. And I am one who gets tired reading at night, but like during the day, I do kind of have that space for listening to something when I'm folding laundry. It's probably how you're listening to a podcast right now. You're on a walk or you're driving in your car or whatnot. Like that's a great time to engage in a story, maybe in addition to some of the podcasts that you love. Another thing that's also helped me is just learning how the local library works or just the different systems that are associated with that. I think sometimes, even though we all probably went through that as a kid where they walk you around, they show you where everything is and like how to find things. I needed a little bit of a refresh as an adult and to not be intimidated by the library to learn like how to navigate it and how to reserve books ahead of time, how to get on wait lists for things, or even how to use like the app. Like we have an app that our local library is a member of that you can listen to audiobooks for free or get Kindle books for free or whatnot.
It's like a national thing. It's like Hoopla.
Hoopla. Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't Libby. Know if that was I think not. It's a national thing. If it's not, sorry, but I'm pretty sure everybody.
Yeah, like get Hoopla, but like that takes time
to
research
download
and set
it,
up.
Get login, all that stuff. Yeah. It does, but take the initiative for sure. You know, I think a big one we often hear is I don't have time. And totally get it. I think we all are short on time, but other things that you can do is be really honest about how you spend your time. So how much TV do you actually watch? And again, some TV, we think, and movies can fall into a category of actually helping you gain, learn virtues and do some of the things that we've talked about in this podcast. But how much time do you spend on your phone during throughout the day? When anyone says, I don't have time, everybody always likes to point back to phone use and we're going to do it too. And then also, I think that you can break it down a little bit and think if you read one chapter a day and you're trying to read, if it's a fiction book, you know, that's going to be a lot more chapters, usually like 30 to 60 chapters or something, but you would actually read a book in a month or two, you know, and just one chapter a day. A nonfiction book, those are like, what, 12 chapters? I mean, you can cook through nonfiction, but we're talking about fiction for today. So break it down. I think if sometimes we look at that big old honker of a book and we think, oh, that is just too hard, or we look at the 12 hours of audio. But if you just kind of start plugging away at it, you actually get through quite a bit.
And I think to that end, don't be afraid to put something down if you're not enjoying it and you're slogging through
it. Yes, do not read books that you don't like.
You know, unless there's like a really specific
purpose.
Too many
good books in the
world. Just, yeah, don't. Because I have gotten really bogged down in reading before where I've like determined like.
You felt like you should read something.
I need to finish this book before I move on. And it's like, that's the beauty of the library. Just take it back.
Yep. And you don't have to read all those old classics. Yeah. If you're like, hey, that ain't for me. Like, it's so boring, but I feel like I should to be like an elite educated person. No, that's weird. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, what else? Oh, I think learning how to discover new books. A lot of times people will go back to just saying, well, I don't know what to read. And that's legitimate. I especially, you know, Emily and I are both voracious readers, which means we read a ton, which means you do need like a long list. And one, there's Instagrammers or Bookstagrammers. There's BookTok, which
I
is
love
a little bit.
Bookstagram. I think
Bookstagram is more high quality than BookTok.
Yeah, at least, I mean, I don't follow that many, so I probably have
find
like a very small view of this. But there's like so... It is so helpful.
Yeah. Finding somebody whose taste you trust. Have a friend. Most people have a friend who's a heavy reader. Get close to them and ask them, what should I read next? There are podcasts out there that, I think there's a podcast literally called What Should I Read Next? You can, you know, go find some of those types of resources. But that's sort of like learning your library is learning the landscape of books and discovering how you can keep a list. And I keep a list on my iPhone of like somebody mentions this is a good book, I'll write it down. Or on Amazon and Goodreads, there's, you know, more books like this. And so that's another way to be able to say, oh, okay, I liked that book. Now I can read this book. And it's hit or miss. And that's where we go back to, don't feel like you have to finish a book. Mm-hmm. Just put it down.
I love too the challenge of taking a book one level deeper. Or doing like some extra kind of behind the scenes content. So then getting to enjoy it again as you go listen to like an interview with the author, or maybe it is historical fiction. And then you're like, oh, I'm super interested in that period of history.
For sure.
And now I actually want to go read a more dry book on that topic because I want to understand this thing that I was reading a little bit more. Or again, that critical thinking about the story is, can you go find something to read or listen to where you see other people reflect on the characters and the story so that you're thinking more deeply about it? I think that's one of my favorite ways to like enjoy a good book twice, you know, is like dig in a little bit deeper and like find that way that you can think critically about it too.
Okay, well, hopefully this inspires you to go out and find a great podcast series or a great book or a great movie or TV show and just to get caught up in a great story.
Hello, my name is Brianne and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because their resources are trustworthy, plain and simple. I know that they are based on the truth of scripture. They are gospel centered, and I don't have to guard myself while I am listening to or reading through the content. And I really appreciate that. Thank you for all that you do in this ministry.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.